I think that one of the ways that women are manipulated into these harmful relationships, whether that be with men or even other women, I think that one of those ways is that women, you know, they really want, and actually it's everybody, they want to feel loved and they want to feel seen and connected to, and they want to really form a primary attachment. That's really what I would say that it is that they really want to form a primary attachment. And usually, you know, when we're kids, your primary attachment is with your parent. Now, I think that a lot of people, they then start looking at a really young age, and sometimes for other people, it's at an older age, maybe in their 20s, they start looking for a primary attachment elsewhere. And usually that's romance. But this can also be that they're looking for a secondary or a tertiary attachment. But they're looking for a primary attachment. And usually people switch from parent primary attachment to husband or wife primary attachment. And I think that actually the process of switching from parent primary attachment would be served immensely, especially in women, if we switched from parent to God. And I think that this has a really profoundly important effect on women, because when you switch your primary attachment to be with God, and now no longer a person, your main and most important attachment, where you are in communion, where you feel heard and understood, where you're devoting to, where you feel devoted to, where you feel in a reciprocal relationship, where you feel protected and loved and cared for and cherished, when you feel that primary, at the most, you know, like profound and the most forefront space in your life, when that is with God, women become so much more secure and confident in the way that they interact with others in the world. Because when you already have that space filled by an eternally loving, unconditionally merciful, deeply interested in you specifically, when you have a relationship with that being, with that self, with that it, when you have a relationship with that first, it makes you, when it's already filled, the space is already filled. And that is the most important thing that you can do, because it makes you feel confident, whole, and secure going out into the world, forming other bonds that become maybe your primary worldly bond, or your primary, you know, soul bond between you and another soul. But your most baseline primary attachment is already filled. So you're already whole. And I really actually don't think that people can feel totally happy, fulfilled, secure if they're missing that. And no human relationship, no relationship between you and another soul will ever take the place of that. It will never fill your cup, because that primary attachment is meant for you and God. And I think that specifically with women, that when we have that, because women are targeted in our society to, we're targeted and conditioned to accept really, to seek out primary relationships, especially with men, and then on top of that, to settle in those primary relationships. So we're conditioned to seek them out and then also to be treated badly within them. And so when that space, when your primary relationship is already filled, you're no longer in this kind of seeking, stressed out space. You can come to friendships and romantic relationships from a more relaxed space. So from that, because you're already loved, you're already cherished, you're already devoted to, you're already, your yearning is met, you know, and that's if you're finding fulfillment in your relationship with God, if you're seeking continually, if you're devoting continually, it's a totally reciprocal relationship. So what you're putting in, you know, you're receiving back as well. And I think that it's really important for people to have that personal aspect of God. My guru Yogananda talks about this all the time, about the personal and impersonal nature of God. And many times we have this kind of personal, we need the personal aspect of God. And so that comes to us in the avatars. An avatar in Hinduism means a full incarnation of God. So that would be Jesus Christ. That would be Paramahansa Yogananda. That would be Ananda Mayima. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it tells us that throughout all time, God is always sending avatars, full incarnations of God at every time, so that the people have a personal relationship, can have a personal relationship with a personal God, because this is a full incarnation of God. So my guru is that, right? And so when we have this personal relationship with God, that's how people feel with Jesus, and they feel that way with their gurus and whatnot. Of course, if it's an actual full incarnation of God, this doesn't mean just a teacher or someone who's very wise or someone who's just spiritually advanced, an actual incarnation of God. That allows us to as well have a really personal and reciprocal relationship with God on a really, really intimate level. Of course, one doesn't need that, but it allows for us to have this really intimate, personal relationship with God where, yeah, it does feel very reciprocal. And like this, my main and primary attachment is with Yogananda, right? So a lot of other people's primary attachment is with Jesus, right? And so your guru, Jesus would be a guru. It's just a name, a master, an avatar, you know, the savior, king, lord. This is same thing as Yogananda. And, you know, when you have that primary secure attachment with someone who is an incarnation of God, it allows you to feel very, very unwilling to settle in relationships, because you're in this beautiful relationship, this reciprocal relationship where you're loved and cherished and valued and given grace and all of these beautiful things, the most beautiful relationship that human relationships are supposed to mirror themselves after. You're already in that relationship. So then when you go into the human world and you're looking for friends or you're looking for a partner, your standard, what you are now used to, is this deeply beautiful relationship that's unconditionally loving and extremely healthy and beautiful and kind and loving and gentle and strong. And, you know, and that's your standard. And so it really does change the game, because when we don't have that, you're looking somewhere for someone to reflect back to you what God is supposed to reflect back to you, which is the most fundamental truth that you are of God. And that's really what we're looking for. And then once that's filled with God, then you want your relationships, like I said, to mirror the godliness. You want your relationships to mirror godliness. So then your friendships and your romantic relationships and your relationships on earth and with other souls become these deeply devotional, beautiful, loving, kind spaces, because you already know what that feels like. And I think for women who have experienced a lot of abuse and trauma, it can be so incredibly healing to form and seek a really deep relationship with God, because again, then it is a protective measure from you going out into the world desperate and going out into the world not really sure if you're lovable, if you're loved, and then going into relationships with men, which we're conditioned to do, that treat us poorly and that reflect back to us, you're not lovable, you're not loved, you're going to be treated poorly, you're going to have to settle here. And that's what the average woman does. And that's what the average woman's been forced to do for centuries. But now we have a different opportunity where women in the masses do not have to do this. And I just personally think that having this space with God allows women, and allows everybody, but allows women, since I'm talking to women, to have a really, it allows you to have a leg up in the world. It should be what everybody has, but since everybody, most everybody doesn't have that, it allows you particularly to have a leg up where you're already walking through the world in a primary bond, in a primary attachment with your, you know, loving and kind beloved. And then your other relationships just serve as reflections of that. And you are in relationship with God through these people. You're in relationships with the most pure reflection of God, right? Because all souls are technically reflections of God. You can think of God as a ocean, and souls are little tiny waves from that ocean. And the little waves go out, and maybe they get separated from the ocean. And we can think of the fact that all of the waves or all of the little particles of water are aspects of, or are souls, and they're from God, and they're all part of God, and they are God. But let's say we take a cup out of the ocean, we take a little wave and we take a big bucket and we bring it out of the ocean, and we add a ton of dirt and muck into the bucket, and we, you know, mix it all around and we're shaking it up. And then suddenly that wave that is pure water looks cloudy and kind of, you know, distorted, and you can't really see through it. And it's not really a clear reflection of God anymore, even though it is God. That is exactly how humans are. So you want to connect with humans that are a clearer reflection of God. Humans who are less of a clear reflection of God doesn't mean they are less of an equal soul of God. It means that they have confused themselves with something that they're not, and they've made a distortion of God, so they reflect their own godliness less. And so you want your human relationships to be with those who are clear reflections of what they are, which is God. And when you have a truly strong relationship with God, when you know God truly, when you really seek and connect and devote to God, which takes years and years of devotion and discipline, when you truly seek that and find that and connect with that and devote time to it, hours and hours and hours, and you really are serious about that, and you go outside of, you know, the masses, you know, religions, most of that, the people that are in the average, they find the most, you know, the most elementary connection. They find the most spiritually immature connection. It's a starting point, but it's so wildly far from what's possible. So when you go further, you experience deeper union with God. And as a result, your standards for human relationships become those who are deeper reflections of God, because you've seen deeper depths of God, versus the majority of people on earth, probably 95%, have a very spiritually immature relationship with God. And as a result, even if they are incredibly religious, and as a result, they are able to be in relationships that are more distorted because the soul is more distorted, more forgetful, because it's a match to their relationship with God. So when you go deeper, the further that you go, the more that you seek, the more that you devote, the more that you go outside of the confines of what the average person is doing with God, when you go further and further and further, what you see deepens not only your standards for others, but first and foremost, it takes away the muck of what was surrounding you. And so it makes you a clearer reflection of God. And then since you're a clearer reflection of God, what you desire and what feels natural to you and what feels attractive to you is other deeper reflections of God. And the deeper that you get into the truest reflections of God, the more loving and devotional and kind and empathetic and intelligent and wise the people that you are resonating with are going to be. Because they are taking out that sand out of the bucket from themselves as you are, and you're like, we're a match. The density of our water is a match. It's way less dense, filled with all of this sand and dirt and, you know, friction and movement that the average person has in their bucket, in their little soul. So you become a match for others. And so for women who are conditioned to, they're conditioned to be treated terribly. We live in the patriarchy, which has distorted not only our human relationships, but also has perverted our relationships with God. Because of this, I think that women can benefit so much from creating a primary attachment with God. And then no longer are you desperately seeking and desperately needing this man to love you or this woman to love you. You know, no longer are you abused in a relationship, but trying desperately to work it out because your primary attachment is already filled. And I think that the biggest problem is when you need so desperately that primary attachment to be filled. Everybody wants it to be filled. They want it to be filled with God, but they don't realize that. So they desperately try to have, you know, a man fill it. Or even a friend fill it. And same thing with secondary and tertiary attachments, you know, a man versus a girl best friend. And those are all the most important attachments to you, you know, whatever attachments are so important to you. And when we have our primary attachment already filled, again, those other attachments, the standards for them become a lot higher and then our need for them becomes a lot less. So we are more protected, we're more confident, we're more secure in the world because we have higher standards for what those relationships are going to look like. And we also are not desperate for them because we already are in the most loving, secure attachment that could ever possibly be had. And the only attachment that's going to go with you throughout all time. So, yeah, so I think that women can benefit from this. All people can benefit from this, but, you know, I'm here for women. So, so I think that this is really important. And, yeah, and if anyone, you know, people will ask me after I talk about these kind of things, well, what should I do? I want that. What should I do? You know, I can't say what your individual relationship with God has been called to be. It's so different and unique for everybody. But obviously, I found it through Yogananda and through Yogananda. And so I would just suggest what I found, which is you should read the Autobiography of a Yogi, which is his book that kind of gives the autobiography of his life. And then if you feel interested in that, sign up for the lessons through the SRF, which is the next step, is when you start applying the lessons and you become a true devotee. And then once you go through that, you can be initiated into Kriya Yoga, which is the truest and highest scientific way to achieve union with God. And yeah, but start out reading the Autobiography of a Yogi. It's very dense and interesting and profound. This is God speaking to you. This is a pure incarnation of God talking. So yeah. So that's my advice, you know, because I can only tell you the path that I'm on. But I also know that there's other paths. People have been finding avatars forever, you know. So I would say find your avatar. That could be Ananda Mayi Ma. You know, Ananda Mayi Ma is a female avatar. That might be her. That might be Yogananda, that might be Jesus, that might be, you know, someone who is completely unknown to the world. For example, which happened with Hafiz. I've been reading a lot of Hafiz poetry lately. And, you know, he prayed, and I think he held a vigil for many days. I think it might have been 40 days, which is kind of a number typically associated with fasting and spiritual, you know, spiritual fasting. And so Hafiz held some sort of long-term vigil where he fasted and prayed, and I think he didn't even move from the spot that he was in, or maybe that was later in life. Yeah, actually, I think that was later. He did a second one. But regardless, in the first one, he did some sort of prolonged devotional activity. And at the end, an angel was sent to him, and he asked the angel for, you know, union with God. I want to be with God. And the angel sent him to this Sufi teacher that was, you know, completely unknown, and told him, you know, that this is his master and this is the avatar that's going to bring him to God. So it might be somebody that, you know, is maybe you meet, you know, your teacher. This also happened with Rumi and Shams, right? Shams of Tabriz was Rumi's master and incarnation of God that came to Rumi. So, you know, everybody's there. The individual avatar that's meant for you is this really mystical and beautiful experience that God has planned for you if you ask and pray enough. And maybe you don't have one planned yet because you haven't throughout incarnations devoted and prayed and asked for this. So ask for it now, you know, pray and ask. I don't know if I have a avatar. I don't know if I have a master waiting for me. So please send me one. I want one. I want to be with you. I want to know you. I need to be guided to you. Please send me one. And I don't think that call to, right, it's like a child calling to their mother. I don't think that can be ignored. So yeah, but I would say start with reading the autobiography of a yogi. That would be my answer. So I hope this was helpful, and yeah.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at tanger.com.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.